I get your
Hi.
line is on mute. Yeah, okay, Devrat is here.
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes,
Yes, we
Devrat.
can hear you.
Yeah, Devrat, your voice is
Okay, great.
audible.
So the first time I'm using Blue Jeans, so I wasn't sure if it'll work properly. Thank you.
Okay.
So thanks, Devrat, for being there. I'll just give a quick introduction before I leave the meeting room for you. We have with us the senior team of Hitachi Energy, the erstwhile ABB Power Grid Solutions. We have with us Venu, who's the managing director, Ajay, the CFO, and other members of the team, including Manashwi, who manages investor relations communications. With these words, I would like to close the session, as in leave the session for you. And sir, we have with us Devrat Mohta, who's from the Capital World International, part of the Capital Group, based out of Hong Kong. I just thought I'll give a quick background. Thereafter, I'll leave it open to both of you to
Thanks,
share
Renu.
a bit more details and take it from here on.
Thank you, Renu.
Okay, thank you, Renu.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Firstly, thank you for taking time out and doing this call. Really appreciate it. Would it
No
be helpful if
problem.
I briefly introduce Capital Group to you as well?
Sure, do that.
Okay,
So
may I
Capital Group is a
just
law firmly.
Sorry?
Sorry, before everyone gets started, the call is being recorded so that everyone is
Okay,
aware
sure.
for the stock exchanges. Yeah, please
Sure,
continue.
okay, no problem. Yeah, so Capital Group is a long-only asset manager. We're headquartered in LA. Globally, we manage about
Your voice is very,
$2,500
very
of.
low, Devrat. Can you come close to the mic?
Can you hear me now? Is it better?
Yeah, now it's better.
Slightly better, but still
Yes,
could be
okay,
better.
better, but still it is same.
Is it better now?
Yeah, now it's
Yeah,
better.
super.
Okay, fine. So Capital Group is a long-only asset manager. We are headquartered in LA. Globally, we manage about $2.5 trillion of mostly American savers and money invested across the world. At Capital, we have three different equity groups, so Capital World, Capital Research, and Capital International. I'm part of Capital World, which is one of the three arms, and I'm based in Hong Kong. I work as an India generalist, so I kind of look at companies across different sectors in India. And yeah, I'm really interested to learn more about your business today. Given this is the first time I'm meeting you all, and in its present avatar, Hitachi Energy is a relatively newer company. Would love to hear just, firstly from a strategy perspective, what are your kind of, big strategic objectives over the next 3 to 4 years, and what really is the opportunity set for you all as you all kind of look at the business?
Sure. Thank you, Devrat. Appreciate very much as we are speaking first time. Just want to set kind of guardrails rather. We would like to only discuss what is publicly available information.
Absolutely.
So to be fair, so that's what we will do that. And since you are
Absolutely.
first time, I just want to take a 5 or 7 minutes to just give you an overview of where we stand. Manashwi, can you share that the presentation, the 3 4 slides, take you through that, what kind of business and we are doing that. Okay, is
That'd be
that
great.
okay
Thank
with
you.
you? Yeah.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to the next slide. Yeah, we have just recently we have changed our name in India. For example, we had first time we had our live event with the customers and key stakeholders. Amitabh Kant, who was the CEO of Niti Aayog, was a keynote speaker where we have officially announced the Hitachi Energy in India. Go to the next slide, please. So this, I'm sure since you are following this particular thing, you know all of that, but just give you from our perspective, especially India's energy landscape, how it is changing it. And when it comes to today, where we are standing, we are the second largest power consumer. I'm talking about the Indian landscape, not our company about it, but the third largest power producers in the world and third highest generator of CO2 emissions. As we have seen a lot of COP26 related thing, this is where we are coming. Our country is coming from, and the fifth largest installed RE capacity in India. India has touched 150 gigawatt of renewable energy by now. As you know, the target is 500 gigawatt by 2030, and sixth in attracting clean energy investments in that. So that is where is I see we see the huge change in the landscape in that. Going to the next slide. So I give you examples, where Hitachi Energy now. Previously, we were part of the ABB Power Grids, are playing a vital role in the energy transitions of India. This is the one we recently commissioned, one of the multi-million dollar contract of HVDC, the technology where ABB has pioneered. Now it is part of Hitachi Energy's legacy. And this is a link carry almost 6,000 megawatt of power from both over a distance of 1,800 kilometers. The beauty of this technology is that it has a flexibility, it has a resilience, it has, you know, stronger part of the thing. It makes the grids more sustainable and robust, flexible, things like that. And these are the technologies that are extremely important for the initiatives like One Sun, One World, and One Grid kind of thing. Give an example of how flexibility about this technology. You know, at the time of planning, our customer wanted power flow from west to south. That was the concept of this thing. But by the time this project commissioned and there is a new generation, wind generation has come up in the south, since the technology provides a bidirectional power flow, they are able to transmit renewable green energy from south to west. So that is how the combination of these technologies happens. Go to the next one. So the other thing, I'm just giving you a couple of things. The other one is about the, you know, enabling clean mobility. So every 9 out of the 10 metro rail, whether it is a Mumbai, Nagpur, whether it's Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore, Cochin, 9 out of the 10 metros in India power through our technology, our SCADA systems in that. And 50% of you know, Indian rail electrification demand is met through our traction transformers. We supply that. So 30% of the complete electrification of Indian Railways is supported by our portfolio, our products, etc. in that. So this is just give you a glimpse of it. I'm going to the next slide about our operations. So we have close to 16 manufacturing units across 5 locations, and you know, we have spread across, and then we are investing into this new manufacturing facilities we already talked about is. And we also have the Global Engineering Center and Technology Center, so on and so forth, which is part of that. Move to the next slide. Yeah, so the last quarter, I think July to September quarter is a full quarter on all fronts. And we have to deal with the COVID pandemic. And I would say that we had a very resilient quarter in that. So rail segment continued to lead our order booking. And we also, you know, next slide is very important for you to understand how this energy landscape is changing, how we are working as a technology leader, how we are taking the, you know, like a walk the talk kind of thought leadership. You know, the sustainability is core of our strategy. It's core of our heart. And because we are providing the technology that enables a carbon neutral future for many companies. So what we have done, we announced our carbon neutral strategy in India. We are the first among many few companies announcing a carbon neutral strategy. What we are saying, by 2030, we want to be carbon neutral in our own operations in India. So that is where, because, you know, we consume quite a lot of thing in the production of the transformer factories, production of the switchgear factories, production of the various the factories. Many of the project sites run on a various, you know, fossil fuels they use. And we have set ourselves a very tough target. And in that, we have a short-term goal. The short-term goal is by end of fiscal year 2022, that is 2 months from now, that is by March 31st, all of our facilities will be powered through 100% fossil-free electricity. So the idea of setting this is that, you know, our technology will provide carbon-neutral future. And while doing so, we ourselves need to do a leadership position, walk the talk, etc. and that. And second one is, we also set up, even though it's not a mandatory as part of a stock exchange regulator yet, we ourselves set up an independent directors ESG committee, because we wanted to also look at our plan, how we are you know, progressing on that, and how we wanted to reach 2030 carbon neutral strategy. Both we have a short term, mid term, and long terms in that. So This is a very important, and while doing so, it's also important the energy landscape is changing with a combination of both the digital platforms and energy platforms coming together, because renewables need a lot of transparency in knowing the flow of electrons, because you don't know when the sun shines, you don't know when the wind goes, right? And that's exactly the thing. How do you know with so much of renewable penetrating? the grids and also the conception standpoint. So we going to the next slide is where we have continued to work on engaging with our premier institutions in India, whether it is the IIT Roorkee. There we are doing a complete, you know, integrated monitoring, analytical and control center of the entire energy, not only from the generation, but generation, transmission, distribution and consumption standpoint. In case of NIT Warangal, recently our lab got inaugurated. So we are setting up a complete digital smart electric laboratory here, where the NIT Warangal is the first institution coming out offering a master course in a smart grid, where we are working with them in enabling the future. The whole idea is the future talent is extremely important in collaborating the shaping the energy transitions in that. Moving to the maybe my last slide, we can skip this. Next two slides we can skip. Just coming back, I think you have seen probably our last quarter results. Key, our priorities is our people, which is a very clear. We also need to, you know, upskill the people. We also need to ensure that our people are safe. We are strengthening our diversity inclusion by using our diversity 360 efforts and processes. And partnership is the key. In this whole landscape change, there it is important that how we partner with our stakeholders in enabling the, you know, carbon neutral visions, etc. In that, we have a very clear strategy on the high growth segments. You're talking about, you know, what are your strategy? Well, if you really look at the, why did we change our name? We not change name just for sake of it, because we are, our portfolio or our technology, our expertise is providing beyond the grids, not only the grids, but beyond the grids. So right from the generation, transmission, distribution, and the consumption standpoint, our technology is providing, and we are enabling the, you know, carbon neutral vision of our customers in that. So some of the high growth segments we talked about, the data center, rail, and renewable HVDC, high voltage DC current is extremely important when we are looking at the initiatives like One Sun, One World, or the interconnections. So these are all the initiatives where we believe that we have a very strong, solid foundation where we are able to, you know, add more value to our customers in those things. And digitalization exports are also key drivers, taking the advantage of our footprint in India to leverage that not only for Indian market, but for the rest of the market. So this is just to give you a bit of snapshot, Devrat. Now I would like to pause and then take your question.
Got it. Thank you so much. This is actually very helpful. Can I just ask before we get into the individual segments, what are Hitachi's other business entities in India? And because with a few MNC companies, we've had this, there's been, you know, like a lot of time that, you know, incremental growth gets driven in, you know, 100% fully owned subsidiary, etc. So what are the other entities that Hitachi has? And just from the parent, what's kind of the commitment or, you know, what really is their plan for this business over the next, I don't know, 5 years or so?
Yeah. So just to share, you know, even though we are part of the Hitachi ownership, but we are a standalone, independent global company, continue to headquartered in Zurich in Switzerland. So if you take the Hitachi Energy, it is still a joint venture between Hitachi and ABB, where Hitachi holds 80.1% stake, and then ABB is retaining the rest of the things in that. So That is just to give you a thing from where we are coming. Our parent is Hitachi Energy Zurich, Hitachi Energy Limited, in headquartered in Zurich. So that is how the parent came. So when it comes to the commitment wise, as you know, India is one of the key market, not only from the growth perspective, but also from the talent perspective and also engineering aspects and many other aspects. You know, one of the things, and for your information, we right now, we are part of Hitachi Energy, but we have been having a legacy of investing in India for more than six decades and continue to invest and continue to expand our portfolio and factories in that. So we have a very clear strategy, and that is where our previously, which is part of ABB Power Grids, now we are called as Hitachi Energy Limited. So we have a very clear strategy. The strategy is to, you know, grow higher than the market. And by growing higher in the market, because we have taken several actions, several initiatives, both in terms of the portfolio, in terms of the business models, in terms of various other things. So that's where is the thing. And then We have a clear focus on the high growth segments, and those high growth segments, as I told you previously, are growing much higher than the market average growth in that. And in addition to that, the service digitalization, our exports are our key growth enablers for us.
Got it. Thanks. And can I also ask, I mean, maybe if we just go into each of the individual segments, given that, you know, utilities is obviously your largest segment, if you can just maybe just help me understand briefly, like, what would be your, you know, your market position within within the utility segment, and also within utilities, just what would be your competitive advantages that really help you kind of succeed within this business?
Yeah. So, you know, traditionally, we have been very closely associated with the utilities. So, first of all, you know, with the utilities, we have a clear growth strategy. We have, you know, our account management thing is very solid when it comes to the utilities. And our portfolio starts right from the planning stage to the building phase and the operational and maintenance phase. So that's very clear differentiator. We have a consulting unit, and we have quite a good number of consultants around the world, including in India. And these are the consultants who engages with the utilities when they're in the planning phase of the any particular project or assets in there. So that is a clearly advantage compared to that. So we will engage with our customers at the early stage and providing our consultancies on the whether it is a power flow studies, whether it is a stability analysis, whether it is a penetration of the renewables, so on and so forth, etc. And thereafter, you know, we have a complete portfolio which goes to the utilities. And the key part is that more than 80% of the portfolio we manufacture locally. The local value add is much higher in India in that. And then we also have, you know, digital maintenance things. Take, for example, the transformer. You know, previously, if somebody wants to, you know, look at the transformer healthiness, he used to drain out the complete oil and go and check it. And we came out with the, you know, leading edge technologies like a small robot. The robot can go in while the oil is inside and able to see that. So the differentiation is clearly bringing out the new technologies, new portfolio, more localization and the engineering optimization tools what we use. And that's clearly the differentiation we bring in to the utilities in that. And utilities is by far is our biggest segment, but as you know, we have equally present in utilities, industries, and transports and infrastructure.
Understood. You know, before we move to the other segment, maybe on utilities, can you just walk me through what would be really the play for Hitachi Energy as India kind of transitions from fossil fuel towards more renewable over the next kind of 10 years or so? What really would be your plan? And also, if you could just talk a little bit about the competitive, you know, landscape, like how are y'all positioned to kind of capture this opportunity vis-a-vis competition?
Yeah. So when it comes to the utilities, there are two aspects. One is the you know, generations per se, that is a renewable. And the second one is the transmission standpoint and the grid standpoint in that. Let me start first on the generation of that. And as you can see, if you really look at a generation, when India's commitments in the COP26, okay, they are talking about 500 gigawatt by 2030. Today we are 150 gigawatt, right? So if you need to do that to 500 gigawatt, even if you add a factor, you have to do at least 3 to 4 times more than what you have been doing it. And average, if you see last 4 years, except the COVID year, they are doing around 10 to 12 gigawatt per year. They're adding it to that. So you got to do that. That's the scale of that. So those kind of opportunities coming. So what do we do? What's our play in the renewable thing in that? You know, we have a complete thing. You know, we have the grid connection to the renewable. We do the, you know, system studies in the renewable. We do the, you know, storage of the particular renewables. So we have the complete end to end, except we don't do the turnkey projects. Wherever we believe that we can add more value to customers, we do that. So that's a big opportunity for us. The second and the grids. As you know, in India, the energy transition is also making the different kind of business model. It's not only our major customer like PGCIL who can take the orders and give it to us. There is also a called tariff-based competitive bidding in that. So the tariff-based competitive bidding things where the private players are participating and actively winning also. So there we have a play where you know, the private players are looking at optimization technologies, looking at you know, how early we can engage with them and can make them you know, winning of that. So it's clearly a winning strategy compared to our competition in the utility space. On the renewable, right, both whether it is the solar or the wind, and also the grid edge. The grid edge is also another very important area where we have a solid portfolio footprint here in that. Like grid edge means energy storage and the microgrids. So with so much of renewable coming in, it's also important that the energy storage will play a vital role in that. That's the one aspect of that. The second is we also have the portfolio, what we call the electrical vehicle charging. We don't do the chargers, standalone charger. So as part of this thing, we offer a charging solutions, the grid-enabled charging solutions for mass rapid transit systems. We have a technology. The technology enables a bus to get a boost of charge in less than 20 seconds. So that's the technologies there. We tied up with one of the leading bus manufacturers here. We are positioning this technology in IIT Madras campus. So these are the technologies and these are the offerings end to end, clearly puts a differentiating position compared to others. Sorry, you're on mute. You're on mute, Devrat.
Sorry. I was asking, you know, what would be your market share across, I mean, within the utility segment kind of, you know, and what really is the competitive landscape here? Who are, you know, kind of your peers who do? I mean, I know it's very different products, so it's not like for like competition in each, you know, I mean, across the board, but just, yeah. I mean, roughly to get a sense of, you know, how, I mean, what is your position within the industry?
You know, we don't give a competitive, we don't give a market share publicly. So far, we are not given, but I can give you some pointers. In most of the products and the portfolio, we are in either we are number one or number two. So that's our thing. So just give you that. And then who are our competitors? Our competitors are you know you all know that global T&D full liners. And then we also have local manufacturers in that. But key is that, you know, it's not that everybody has the same kind of portfolio like what we have. We have a portfolio where we have a complete thing, including the electric vehicle charging solutions in that. So that way, it makes us in a very unique in this energy transition period.
Understood. Okay. And then maybe similarly, if you can just talk through you know, industry as well as transportation segment, because that's again, I mean, it's smaller today, but it's kind of, you know, within the order book, it's almost kind of half the order book now. So if you can just talk to the outlook for those two as well, yeah. And what really is ABB's play for those businesses.
Okay, so let me talk on the transportation sector. I just gave you a couple of things in the slide. You know, we have a very good position in the transport sector. So where all we play in the transport sector? We play in a first of all, rolling stocks, okay, where our transformers will go. That's where we said, you know, we have more than 50% of market share in that particular segment. In that 9 out of the 10 metro, we also play actively in the metro rail segments. So 9 out of the 10 metros are in India already runs on our technology. And then we also look at the cross-country of opportunities in that. So cross-country electrification, regional transport sectors, regional transport electrification. So those are the things in that. In addition to that, what we also see the high-speed rail, you know, the high-speed rail projects, which now we are a part of the Hitachi ownership. So we bring and we also qualify for that step component wherever the JBIC or JICA funded projects are coming in that. So we see a huge amount of opportunities in the high-speed rail or this bullet train kind of projects in thing. The thing is, again, here, we have a manufacturing plants here and fully localized, including these latest technologies doing that in there. So transport sector is also quite a big growth area has been giving it quite a good growth, and we also see going forward is quite substantial when it comes to this on this particular segment. And industries, we are actually look at the industries and also before I come to industries, you know, since we have been in India last six decades, and then our products also come much before that, we have a huge installed base. So our service opportunity is leveraging the installed base, that with so much of now we are productizing the service offering through digital. I think that's a very big clear differentiation compared to many other things in that. So we have many of our industries, you name the big names in India, they do have our installed base, complete all our portfolio in that. So when it comes to the industries now, I think we have a very clear strategy on positioning ourselves on the industries, the core industries, whether it is the steel, cement, and metal industries in that. And we work very closely with them. You know, we have our strategy, we have our footprint over there, we have our installed base. And here we would like to engage with the customers early on by offering extra like a digital solutions to that. While we are talking, you know, many industries, we are running the pilot projects in the digitals in that. So many of these customers are looking at how to leverage the, you know, leverage their assets to the fullest minimum. So we have the asset management portfolio, we have the enterprise related portfolio, and that enables the, you know, maximize their benefit out of the existing assets as well as the new assets. You know, spare management, one of the key thing, you know, today our customers thinking that they don't need to manage the spares by themselves. So that is how we're doing that. And we're also looking at different business models when it comes to the industries. So right now, as you know, industries investments is low, but it's only a matter of time with the so much of metal pricing at elevated level. We believe that it's only a matter of time that the investments in the industry will pick up. But we have also other industries like, you know, data center. Data center is quite a good growth, and we have the quite good portfolio, not only from the grid connection standpoint, but also rest of the things in that. We have a very, very good market share, and then we are improving on the data centers and other related industries.
Can I ask you two follow-up questions? Can you give me maybe just one example of, I don't know, like let's say for a cement company, I mean, what kind of digital solution would you offer to, you know, cement company? Yeah. What kind of work do you do for them? And also, Absolutely. Just on the data center, exactly what do you all do?
Yeah. So just put up the slide, the data center, easy to do that. And then Manashri, while the slide is coming up. So let me see what we do for each of the cement and metal. Take, for example, any metal industry. So there we do a complete load management system. Okay, as you know, take for example, aluminium plant, the energy cost is one of the biggest cost. How do we optimize the energy cost? How do we ensure that the resilience of that system becomes much bigger? How do we ensure that, you know, the downtime is totally reduced, the reliability is improved? So these are the technologies that we have our grid automation solutions we deploy in those industries to see that their resilience goes up, their optimization takes place, and the reliability improves in that. So that's how, just give an example on that. So it goes end to end in that. So wherever we need to, you know, add the more you know, energy efficiency related things, so we will check on that. So we do the complete scanning of that. In the case of the data centers, as you can see here, high voltage substations, air and gas insulated substations, engineered packages, grid connection studies. We do the grid connection studies, is extremely important. Digital substation, dry type transformers, and electrification, depending upon customers' needs, electrification, power distribution, backup power, data center automation, battery storage, power quality, and also so cyber security is extremely important. You know, we have the offering of the cyber security as part of all the grid automation solutions. So these are the things, you know, we do for the data center. And the industries, the power quality is another important aspect in that. As you know, with the heavy load of the consumption of energy, it's important that they need to maintain the grid code of the power quality or power frequency, etc. in that. So that's where our thyristor controlled power quality solutions also will be deployed in the metal industries or any other industries.
Understood. And within all this, what really is the play on the export side?
Sorry, I didn't get you. Exports, I heard within.
No, I'm saying that, you know, you spoke about kind of the domestic opportunity across utilities, yeah, transportation industry. What's the focus on the exports front?
Yeah. So I just told you, exports, we'd really like to leverage the installed the footprint here in India. So we have a 16 manufacturing factories, and we have a clear strategy. As part of our strategy, that our exports right now is around the range of 15% to 20%. And then we want to take it in the short term to mid term to over 25%. And some of the products, we had a global feeder factories, and some of the products we do supply components to other feeder factories within our group. So in some places we directly, you know, allocated markets, we work there, and then we put our sales resources and then develop those markets in that. It's a combination of all the three of them, and that's where we say we see a short term. We set ourselves last year short term to mid term 25% is thing, and by last quarter we already 22% of our orders comes from exports in that.
Got it. Understood. Okay. And then can you just, you know, looking at your revenue breakup, you don't have the number is not written, but of your order book, if I look, I mean, roughly it seems like maybe between 5 to 10% from the pie chart that you have, I mean, maybe between 5 to 10% of your, orders are from the services segment. I mean, over a period of time, should this become materially larger?
Yeah. We said the service also a very clear strategy. We said right now it's a 10% of our services orders comes from the services, but we have very clear strategy in the near term to take it to the 15% in that, because with a more leveraging our installed base, offering our digital solutions and productizing the service offerings are the key.
Got it. And is the margin profile of, I don't know, exports or the services business very different from the base business?
Of course, yeah, definitely it will be much, much better.
Even exports is better, or only the service is better?
No, exports also is better.
Got it. And then, you know, the other question that I had was, you know, if I look at your, across all your business verticals, right? I mean, they're just big secular tailwinds to, you know, be it on the utility side because of the energy transition, transportation. I mean, across all the businesses, you know, you're like essentially playing to very, very strong, you know, tailwinds. But if I look at your order book, right, I mean, your order book has only grown about 7.6% year over year for the first 9 months of, you know, FY 2021. So just what's holding back order book growth, and why shouldn't order book, you know, kind of be much faster?
Yeah, it, absolutely. As I said, you know, our plan is to grow faster than the market. As you see, you know, the last year is always is a challenging year, right? With the COVID, induced lockdowns, shutdowns, or also, you know, putting pressure on our customers, either delaying their project closures, etc. But other than that, we believe that the long-term demand drivers are very intact, and we have a very We are betting big on India's energy transition. So it's a matter of time, and we hope that the COVID, we still hear the new Omicron variant. We hope it will not create too much of disturbances. But for COVID, I think the long-term demand drivers are intact. And in addition to the long-term demand drivers, the COP26 commitments the government of India has set recently is also another tailwind to take our energy transition to the next level.
Okay, and could I ask you, I mean, what would be your estimate of what the industry, you mentioned that you want to grow faster than industry, what is industry growing at? Or what would be your, I don't know, if you were to hazard a guess, what do you think industry should grow at over the next 4 or 5 years?
I think industry, see, as I told you, right, I've given one example of it. So take a commitment of India's commitment of 500 gigawatt of renewable energy by 2030, and from 150 where we are, and to do that, mm-hmm. you have to do 3 to 4 times of it. So we strongly believe that in the midterm to long term, at least double digit growth in that sector will come back.
Got it. Okay. So when you speak about industry, you're basically referring to kind of India's renewable targets. So you're saying the 130 going to, I don't know, 450 to 500 over the next decade. And then if you, let's assume, even if that's, you know, when besides you the target and you cut that down.
Yeah. Besides an interconnection, these are interrelated. Okay. I'll tell you how this. Suppose the moment the renewable projects are coming up, we believe that the transmission projects will come because it'll not be standalone project, right? You need also that, and then you also need more energies available for the industries to grow, and then there is also the requirement for the energy storage is going to be quite a big one, huh? It's a very big, a massive opportunities for energy storage can create India. That also fuel the growth of the industries, whether the battery manufacturing or something like that. So it is interconnected, you know, with one another.
So, okay, got it. So you're saying basically broadly everything, it would be interconnected. So, I mean, if that first thing was to play out, if you were to go from 130 to 500, and maybe it doesn't go to 500, maybe it goes to 400 or whatever, which itself is fairly significant. I mean, the rest of it all flows from that. And you're saying, given...
And another one is electrical vehicle penetration. You know, the government has 30% penetration by 2030. So all these things, even if you take a factor also, it's a quite a substantial, you know, move. It needs infrastructure. It needs, you know, it's a very, electrical penetration. How does it happen? You also need a very robust, charging infrastructure first laid out across the things, right? You need to also come out with a different technology, different business models. And all those things, we believe that will kick in as part of that.
Understood. And what about, what gives you confidence that you all would be able to grow faster than industry?
Yeah, I think that's very, very good question, I think. What gives the confidence? So first of all, you know, we have been investing. In fact, just tell you one example, what gives the confidence. During the COVID strict lockdown in India last year, you know, everybody has pulled back the brakes, but we continue to invest. During the strictest lockdown, we have taken a 500 new employees we recruited. We are not even held back on that. And as we speak, we are now investing around close to 200-250 crores in investing in our new factories. And this is started during lockdowns also. So all these things, we believe basically we have a growth opportunities. Opportunities coming out of the, whether it is the interconnections, whether it is the transmission side on the interconnections, whether it is the renewables, all those things definitely need our portfolio. And one is the domestic market, and then we also have a strategy on the exports and service. And this is where combination of this, we strongly believe that we will be growing ahead in the market. And we have taken a lot of actions. We have done the portfolio. We continue to invest in our portfolio. We are doing the localization. We have increased the local content to much higher than that. And whether it is a make in India, all those things, you know, we are ahead of the curve when it comes to, comes to taking the actions in that. Since we have taken the upfront action, so we believe we are better suited in that. Even HVDC perspective, you know, HVDC is a multi-million dollar contracts. With the so much of renewables coming in, we believe that at least these kind of contracts projects will be available for anybody, at least one per year for the next 3 to 4 years. So we are not seeing these kind of things previously in that.
Got it. And what about margins? I remember, I think in one of your previous interactions, I don't know if it was your call or somewhere else, I think you mentioned that you want to kind of go from, you know, high single digit towards, you know, double digit EBITDA margin. Can you just walk me through just time frame and what are the drivers to getting there?
Yeah, this is also our, as per our strategy, as I told you, we are a EBITDA margin, EBITDA, DA. Hmm. We are at a high single digit right now. And then our strategy is to take to double digit in a midterm period. We said midterm is around 23 is like that, 23-24. So what are the drivers? The drivers is, first of all, the growth is coming. Okay, that is number one. And the number two is we are expanding the exports to presently 15-20% to 25%. And the third one is the service, which is a single digit or 10%, close to 10% now to 15%. And combination of this, we believe that we would get into the double-digit EBITDA margin.
So the first point that you said was basically, revenue growth picking up. So that's just basically operating leverage, right?
Yeah.
And can you just talk through the royalty? What's the royalty structure right now and how does that change over time?
So as you know, I will ask exactly the numbers from our CFO, Ajay, but just to give you on the royalty, as you know, the energy transition is quite big. So what we have not seen these kind of things previously, that we need to invest in the portfolio. We need to invest in the technologies. We need to invest in that. Take, for example, one thing, many of our customers, the ESG drivers are so high, you know, and we use SF6 gas in our portfolio. Just give you one example in that. So it's no more valid in the next 1 or 2 years, people will not like to have SF6 gas built inside our portfolio, right? So we are already working on that. We come out globally, iconic gas, which is an alternative to SF6 gas, but much more, you know, suitable or much more friendly to the environment in that. So these needs investments in that, and that's where the being a global organization today, any particular technology comes, we are immediately able to deploy the technology almost at the same time in markets like India in that. So that's an advantage, and for that we have to invest, and the royalty is one of the investments we believe in that. So Ajay, can you just give us a sense of that, what kind of royalty?
Yeah, so royalty currently we are hovering around, let's say, 4.4 to 4.5%. That is how we are hovering on the royalty expenses. As Venu, you rightly mentioned, our products are technology-based products, and that anyway, the technology, it requires the royalty to be paid.
Understood. So it's 4.5%, and does this change, or is there in 2 years' time, suddenly can the parent take this up materially, or can the parent take this down? Like, how does this work?
No, it is not about, you know, taking down, or it is, we believe that it is a continue to, we need to invest it with so much of energy transition. So those things will continue to be invested in that.
So it should roughly be in the same range. I mean, that's the way to think about
it. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And then...
maybe because we have a back-to-back calls after this. And so we almost... maybe one last question, Manashvi?
Yeah. Just one last question for me. Can I just ask you about working capital? I mean, given that you deal with the government across, you know, so many different, across different business verticals, how what are the levers to improving working capital cycle? And is that something that you're kind of, you know, worry about?
Yeah. I think if you have looked at our portfolio, we talked about, we have our portfolio is a bulk of that is a private customer. So we, if you really look at our, our backlog, our portfolio, even though we serve the utilities, we serve through our channels. The channels are the EPCs, the channels are through the distributors, our channels are through, you know, all those kind of things in that. So we have been very actively managing our portfolio. So we have a, you know, cash over revenue policy, and, you know, those kind of things will be extremely mindful about the payment terms, how we negotiate with our customers, and how we follow it up and ensure that, you know, we collect our things. So this is important, but having said that, this is always a bit of challenge. And we used to be, you know, debt-free. Last quarter we had a very short-term borrowings of close to, how much was that?
90 crores
in that. So our focus is to remain debt-free, you know, going forward. Okay, we are not debt-free yet, but that's how, you know, we drive the business.
So you basically think the big focus area to kind of keep reducing working, or to ensure that working capital remains under control.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. I think those were the questions that I had. Thank you for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stay in touch. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Devra.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.